Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Empty Set Entertainment presents Slay, created by Scott Sigler and Rob Otto, performed by Scott Sigler. This story is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, junkie. Well, the Super Bowl, the high holy day of Siglerism, is in the books. In Tier 3, the Kansas City Chiefs won the NFL title with a 25-22 overtime win over the San Francisco 49ers. Do you watch Sigler in Place, my weekly live stream that runs Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern? Well, on that live stream, we had the Empty Set team make their big game picks. My Slay co-creator Rob Otto and John Viscara, Sigler vs. Continuity Czar, both picked the 49ers to win. I picked the Chiefs by a score of 31-17, and I predicted Patrick Mahomes would be the MVP. I was right on the winner and the MVP. A real girl herself, however, picked the Chiefs to win by a score of 27-24. She was only 2 points off for both teams. Pretty damn spot on. She did pick Isaiah Pacheco, running back for the Chiefs, as the MVP, though, so she missed that, but she won the day on the winning team and was closest to the actual score. Way to go, miss. Oh, I don't know anything about football, a real girl. Yeah, we all believe you. Back to Slay. Things are ramping up and the pieces are being put into play for yet another over-the-top, ass-kicking, monstrous Sigler story finale. Let me get you caught up on the story so far, and then we're all gonna go shopping for a new ride. At Kellyus Droman's mansion, Lincoln fought Teddy Two Fingers and his gang. Lincoln saved Droman's 13-year-old daughter, Delilah, from being kidnapped by Teddy, but he couldn't stop Teddy from killing Finnecus Palmore, Delilah's bodyguard. As Droman himself was about to arrive at the mansion, Lincoln called Ariella, hoping she could negotiate a deal with Droman, a deal that would see Lincoln get paid for collecting a bounty on the head of a man who kidnapped his son. And now, episode 47 of Slay. Kellyus Droman walked around the pink carpeted room, avoiding stepping on blood, human, or giant centipede. He clearly didn't want to get any on his $1,000 shoes or his fancy green suit. "You told me you needed a protector, Kellyus," Ariella said, "not a killer. Sure seems like you need the latter now, doesn't it?" Ariella had dressed up for the occasion. Lincoln hadn't seen that particular outfit of a low-cut white top, black skirt and jacket, and the seemingly ever-present black pumps. She stood in a blood-free corner, one hand absently toying at her garish turquoise necklace, watching Droman the way an owl eyes a mouse. "It does seem that way, yes." Droman looked through the insect-drilled hole in the floor, down to where his vine golem had collapsed into nothing more than leaves and stems. "Although if Lincoln actually killed the kidnappers, that would have been better after all, wouldn't it?" Lincoln was sprawled out on the pink couch where Sophie had crashed after he had lopped off her forearm. He didn't mind the blood. He had his feet up on an armrest and a bloody pink towel pressed against his cheek wound. "Oh, blow it out your ass, Droman," Lincoln said. "If you'd have been here or hired an actually skilled bodyguard, that would have been better for all, too." Delilah was sitting on the armrest of a pink recliner. She had changed out of her blood-streaked onesie and into silk pajamas, slippers, and a robe. All puke pink, of course. Droman's tall assistant, Morgan Stone, wrapped what looked like damp seaweed around Delilah's wrist and arm. Lincoln could not tell if Morgan was a dude or a chick. He, or she, wore a kung fu-looking outfit, pale yellow with purple paisley cuffs, the kind of thing Bruce Lee might have worn if he'd been taller and also dabbled in interior design. Droman moved from the hole to the corpse of the bodyguard Teddy Two Fingers had slain. Pal Moore came highly recommended, Droman said. A shame. Morgan smoothed Delilah's seaweed flat. Kahiani Tuka, he said. Or she said. Whatever. The seaweed dried and shrank all at once, becoming a form-fitting, skin-tight cast. Delilah raised her hand, looked at it. She flexed her fingers, made a fist, turned the hand this way and that. Thank you, Morgan, she said. It feels so much better. Morgan bowed, then walked to Lincoln. It wasn't just Morgan's gender Lincoln couldn't pinpoint. He couldn't nail down any ethnicity. Morgan was tall and thin, with the long, heavy hair of a Native American, yet that hair was white as snow. Mr. Franks, Morgan said, I will heal your wound. Yeah, I'll just keep bleeding for now. Thanks a bunch, Lincoln said. What language was that you spoke? Kapanoka, Morgan said. It's quite old. Morgan walked to the wall and stood silently, hands at sides. This assault on my home will not be tolerated, Kelly said. Lincoln, you told me one of the attackers wore a breastplate? Pauldron, Lincoln said. But who's counting? Kellyus looked to Morgan. Is that who I think it is? Most likely, Mr. Droman, Morgan said. Lincoln's description matches my observations of Sophie Jankovic, whom we interviewed for the bodyguard position. Maybe Sophie had felt spurned, so she tracked down Teddy to get some payback. Or maybe Sophie had been working for Teddy all along, and Droman not hiring her had inadvertently saved his daughter from being spirited away the first time he wasn't looking. Sounds like you have good hiring instincts, Ariella said, which I trust you'll put to good use now. Ariella, pushing for Lincoln to be Delilah's bodyguard. No way in hell. Lincoln had shit to do. Who was the other woman? Lincoln asked. That bug wizard chick. That was Haimana, Droman said. She is a former protege of mine, years before Delilah was born. We did not part on good terms, to say the least. I fear the kidnappers may try again. Of course they'll try again, Lincoln said. It's Teddy. He'll keep at it. Trust me. Droman nodded. As I expected. There will be a price for Haimana to pay, and for Sophie, and for Teddy. I'll see to that personally. Lincoln sat up. Get in fucking line, Droman. That piece of shit Two Fingers is mine. Kellyus raised an eyebrow. Language, if you please, Lincoln. My daughter is present. Lincoln stood. Language? There's a dead fucking body lying on your floor, centipede shit splattered on the walls, and your pathetic attempt at a golem is already rotting away downstairs. I'm pretty sure your daughter can handle a lot more than a few drive-by F-bombs. Lincoln, Ariella said. Delilah is 13. As if that mattered a lick. Look, Droman, Lincoln said. Let's get down to brass tacks. You hire me to hunt Teddy, and I'll make all of this go away. Bodyguard, schmoddy guard. Ariella wasn't seeing the big picture. Lincoln could hunt Teddy and get paid for it. Droman stroked his beard. How long have you been looking for Two Fingers? 3 years? 4? Why would I spend my money on that? You're muscle, Franks, not a detective. If you could find Teddy, you would have long ago. I found him this time, didn't I? And lucky for your daughter, I did. Droman walked to Delilah, put his arm around her shoulder. Yes, it was lucky for Delilah, he said. And lucky for you. You accidentally stumbled upon Teddy. While I'm grateful you did, I doubt you can do the same twice. Ariella had told Droman how Lincoln found Teddy. That stupid woman didn't know when to keep her trap shut. She didn't give a shit about Delilah. All Ariella wanted was the deal. Regarding your previous offer, Ariella, Kelly said, Franks becomes Delilah's bodyguard, and in exchange, I train this lad, Walt. I accept. A wolfish grin spread across Ariella's face. Oh, that offer? As you said, Kellyus, that's previous. I have a new offer that benefits all sides equally. Lincoln is Delilah's bodyguard, part-time, only when you're out on business and not in Lumencia. In exchange, you train Walt, and you cover Lincoln's monthly retainer of 20 gold pieces a month, plus 100,000 cash in U.S. dollars. Lincoln's jaw dropped. 20 gold and 100 large? A month? Why didn't she just ask to be paid in a space shuttle full of quaaludes and sparkly unicorns? Outrageous, Kelly said. Morgan, how much was I paying Finnicus?
A touch over one-tenth that amount, Mr. Droman, Morgan said.
Morgan stood so silent and unmoving, Lincoln had forgotten he was there. Or she was there. Or they were there. Whatever.
One-tenth? Ariella nodded toward the body on the floor.
Looks like you get what you pay for.
Lincoln saw Delilah drop her head. A man had died, protecting her, and her father and Ariella discussed the man like it was nothing more than a data point.
Outrageous prices, Kelly said. I could hire a small army for that much.
What a douchebag. He was a literal billionaire. That much money was nothing to him. Delilah lifted her head.
You could stay home, Daddy, she said. Lots of people work from home these days. You wouldn't need to hire Mr. Franks, and I would be safe.
A chill fell over the room. The expression on Droman's face told Lincoln that father and daughter had had this conversation before, and that Delilah already knew how it would end.
I have important interests to attend to, darling, Kellyus said. You know this.
Delilah once again looked down.
I know, Daddy, she said. I know.
Had Droman really used the words important interests as if those interests could be more important than his own flesh and blood?
Delilah's right, Lincoln said. Don't make the same mistake I did, Droman. Get your shit straight and protect your family. Where the fuck were you, anyway?
Droman's green eyes widened with anger. He wasn't used to being spoken to in that way.
Franks, you have no idea the demands on a man of my status, he said. I had labor issues with my factory in Thailand. And you mind your tongue when you talk to me about family.
Why, that arrogant little prick. Droman needed a punch in the mouth. Droman needed,
This is a good deal for all, Ariel said. Kellyus, you get the best in the business protecting your daughter. And let's be honest, I could charge three times what I'm asking, and it still wouldn't even be a rounding error in what you make every damn day.
Lincoln headed for the door.
It's a moot point anyway. I am not a bodyguard. I am going after and we, Lincoln, Ariella said sharply, get a new source of income that will help with the repairs to the old stone church. Oh, did I mention that Magda and Walt almost burned the whole thing down a few hours ago? The training room and part of the workshop needs to be replaced.
The training room and the workshop. On top of the nave and all the furniture. And a new movie screen for Magda, and clothes for Billy, and food, and property taxes. They needed cash. No way around it. The bodyguard gig was part-time. Lincoln could get some teddy hunting in, and if Lincoln could swing it, he could find a few hours to visit Kalista's place and ask, beg was more likely, if she would let him observe Sam on the shelf one more time.
I'm in.
Lincoln looked to Kellyus.
Are you?
Kellyus met Lincoln's gaze, then looked at his daughter. Delilah continued to stare at the floor, her blonde hair hanging down. She was almost as still as the motionless Morgan.
I agree, Kellyus said. Ariella, you have a deal.
She strode to him and shook his hand.
Oh, one more thing, Lincoln said. Your Miracle-Gro maniacs out there got a bit overzealous. You owe me a new fucking bike.
In the climate-ravaged world of 2072, the city of Piura stands as a miraculous green haven. Piura is a geoengineered paradise that protects its fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. In a time when the world outside is unsafe, it's vital for Piura's existence that people rally behind the purpose of the city, and Demetria Lopez, head of the city's public relations, tirelessly promotes its idyllic image. But when she stumbles on a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Piura's existence, she must decide who and what she's willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Ray Seahorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hey, this is Scott, the author of this story. This episode is sponsored by Regal Unlimited, which is all about movies. I love movies, and you can see that in my work, from the references to films to the movie quotes I embed in my dialogue and the summer blockbustery big action sequences that close out each novel. If you like going to the theater like I do, because that's where movies are meant to be enjoyed, Regal Unlimited makes perfect sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription that pays for itself in just two visits. See any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And don't forget the snacks, man! With Regal Unlimited, you get 10% off all non-alcoholic concession items. So if you're planning to see two or more movies this month, you need to join. Remember, Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription that pays for itself in just two visits. Sign up now in the Regal app or at regmovies.com/unlimited. That's regmovies.com/unlimited. Use the code SIGLER024 and earn 10% off a 3-month subscription. That's SIGLER024 to earn 10% off a 3-month subscription.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Magda and Ariella watched workers carry out the last of the burned training mat. Saws screeched as other workers cut away the burned ceiling timbers, while still others installed temporary support poles to bear the weight of the building above. Ariella had used her necklace charms to make temporary walls in the basement. Those walls, which hid Magda's workshop and the 3-lane gun range that doubled as storage for whatever didn't fit in the workshop, looked as old and felt as solid as the basement's real walls.
"I said one nice thing about you, Ariella," Magda said. "You know how to get shit done."
Ariella sipped at a glass of necklace-conjured champagne.
"Boys, take a break," she said. "We need 15 minutes to look things over."
The workers set down their gear and left the basement.
What are you doing?
Magda asked.
Ain't you one of those time is money bitches?
Time is money. Ariella set her glass on the cement floor. I need a moment, Magda. I have something that'll improve your life, Lincoln's life, and our business. What was Skinny Miss Thang up to?
Improve my life, Magda said. You're turning this place into a weed farm.
Ariella smiled. She looked like a completely different person when she did. She reached to her necklace, pulled at one of the turquoise chunks. Magda saw, instantly, that the chunk was a vessel of containment, made to store larger items inside of it. Ariella pulled forth a golden ear cuff, the very one Lincoln took from the Lich in Lynchburg.
Oh, that's so sweet, Magda said, but I don't wear jewelry. I had Lincoln acquire this, but I didn't tell either of you what I hoped it could do, Ariella said. I didn't want you to get your hopes up in case I was wrong, or if it didn't work that way. But it does. When you wear this, Magda, you'll be able to see what Lincoln sees, hear what Lincoln hears, and you'll be able to talk to him as if he was standing right next to you.
Magda saw the obvious application, and yet she couldn't believe what Ariella was saying.
Talk to Lincoln, she said, stumbling over the words. You mean, like?
Ariella nodded. Like you used to when you were Rixitors together. You won't be cooped up here all the time, so to speak. When Lincoln goes hunting, you'll go with him. Billy Middleton floated in a field of absolute light and total darkness. His body twisted and contorted, warped a million different ways, broke into atoms, and came back together. All of this 1,000 times a second. With a soundless snap, he found himself whole again. No walls, no floor, no ceiling, no nothing, save for the pitch-black infinity and blinding white nothingness of transit. And, bonus this time, he hadn't puked. His first solo trip to Cordis. He could barely contain his excitement. He was on his way to learn how to use his powers. If he could go back in time and tell his scrawny, nerdy, 16-year-old self that he'd someday have a pro athlete's body and powers like some kind of superhero, that 16-year-old self would have laughed and asked if he was hitting the pipe. Lincoln had returned to the old stone church. Magda sutured his cheek. Lincoln did not want magical healing this time, he'd said. He wanted the scar. He wanted to remember. Maybe if Link backed off the booze, he might not need scars to remember shit. Link's preparation for his first bodyguard shift included a shower, drinking half a fifth of Yukon Jack, and popping half a dozen Percocets. Kellyus Droman wasn't home because he was in Cordis waiting for Billy's first training session. Droman, apparently, did not fuck about. He wanted to start immediately, which Billy couldn't complain about one little bit. Magda had walked Billy to the Old Stone Church's men's room and made sure he pressed the right tiles. Whoom, Billy was in transit. A solo trip to the Magic City. This was some Wizard of Oz shit right here. Now that Dante Ogonoff was out of the picture, no more bounty on Billy's head. Billy could explore Cordis and see more than the back alleys that led to an extremely horny gnome's orgy dungeon. Billy sensed a change in the nothingness around him. His transit was almost over.
"Man, here it comes," he said, steeling himself.
He braced as well as he could, but there was no preparing for a sound like that of a million tortured souls crying out all at once, and the swelling of the nothingness slash infinity to a mind-blinding pop. Billy found himself on a stone platform ringed with totem poles, tall statues, and ornate sculptures. Gateways to dozens of places on the surface, or what Billy had once thought of as reality. People, and other things, walked in and out of the totems, arriving on or departing from the platform. One of those people, a tall man in a pale yellow kung fu outfit with purple paisley cuffs, walked straight toward Billy. Lincoln had told Billy that Droman's personal assistant would be waiting on the platform.
"Walter Riggs," the assistant said, bowing. "I'm Morgan Stone."
Kind of a feminine voice, though, wasn't it?
"I'm Walt," Billy said,
hating that he had to use the fake name. Was he supposed to bow back? He had no idea. Morgan stood straight.
"Come with me, please. Mr. Droman is waiting for you at his nonagon."
Nonagon? Was that like a nine-sided building or something? Billy assumed they would descend to street level, using the same hole in the platform center that he and Lincoln had used when they'd come here. But Morgan instead walked to the platform's edge. Billy saw various flying things landing to pick up or drop off travelers. Giant birds, flat carpets, horses with wings and without, and dragons, many different kinds of them. A couple looked long and sinewy, like Billy's dragon, but there were other sizes and colors as well. This city. What a spectacle. Fantastic buildings of all shapes and colors, some round, some square, some squat, some heavy, others with spires and towers stretching high. Sparkling, gleaming, glistening. So much to see, far more than he could take in all at once.
"Here is our ride," Morgan said.
Of all the crazy things, a giant joined pair of maple seeds, had to be 20 feet across, helicoptered in, spinning madly but flying with precision. The pair of seeds stopped spinning, landed with one wing flat on the platform. Morgan walked across the wing, stood atop the joined seed heads.
"Get on, Mr. Riggs," he said.
Or she said? Billy stepped onto the wing and stood next to Morgan.
"Wana Tsutkali," she said. "Kotala Nu."
The huge twin seed shot away from the platform, helicoptering like a blurry buzzsaw. Billy stumbled, but quickly realized that was a loss of balance brought on by the blurring view of the city below. He had felt no inertia whatsoever.
"This shit is bananas," Billy said. "Total fucking bananas."
Morgan gave him a side eye.
"We will be there in minutes. A word of advice, Walt. When you train with Mr. Droman, avoid cursing. He does not like it."
You have been listening to Slay, created by Scott Sigler and Rob Otto. Performed by Scott Sigler. Copyright 2024, Empty Set Entertainment. For more info on Scott Sigler, his novels, short stories, and podcasts, visit scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song "They're Watching Me" by the band Super Weapon.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.